The Knox Inn, in the little town of Rose Hill, had been a stagecoach stop as far back as 1772. Now it was a restaurant that served country-style gourmet dishes. Pitt, Giordino, Lauren, and Kelly were immediately shown by the maitre d' to a nice table in the courtyard beneath a large oak tree. They ordered an assortment of barbecued pork and chicken, grits with shrimp and crab, a southern coleslaw salad, and corn on the cob. They were having key lime pie for dessert when a man with a tanned face and reddish-brown hair, flanked by two deadpan characters who might as well have worn signs that proclaimed them as armed killers, approached their table. As the man walked across the courtyard, his blue-white eyes locked on Pitt. An alarm went off in Pitt's brain. He tapped Giordino's leg with his foot and made a gesture that the stocky Italian immediately recognized. The man came directly to their table and stopped.
"We have never met, Mr. Pitt, but my name is Curtis Merlinzale."
They were all well familiar with the name. Their reaction at seeing the legendary monster in the flesh varied. Kelly sucked in her breath and her eyes widened. Lauren explored him with amused curiosity, while Giordino's interest was focused on the two bodyguards. Pitt gazed at Zale with studied indifference and made no effort to rise to his feet. Zale gave a short, aristocratic bow as he addressed the ladies.
"Miss Egan, Congresswoman Smith, it is a pleasure to finally meet you."
Then he turned to Pitt and Giordino.
"Gentlemen, you are uncommonly stubborn. Your meddling has caused my company a great deal of frustration.
Your reputation as a greed-driven sociopath precedes you," said Pitt acidly. The two bodyguards took a step forward, but Zale gestured them back.
"I had hoped we might have a congenial conversation of benefit to us all," he said without a sign of malice.
"This guy is smooth," Pitt thought to himself. "Smooth and slippery as a snake oil con man. I fail to see what we have in common. You murder men, women, and children. Al and I are just your common, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens who became swept up in your crackpot scheme to create a domestic oil monopoly."
"It will never happen," said Lauren.
If Zale was dismayed that Pitt and Lauren were aware of his grand design, he didn't show it.
"You realize, of course, that my resources far exceed yours." "You're delusional if you think you're bigger than the U.S. government," argued Lauren. "Congress will stop you before any of your plans get off the ground. First thing in the morning, I'm calling for a full congressional investigation into your involvement with the Emerald Dolphin and Golden Marlin disasters."
Zale gave her a patronizing smile.
"Are you sure that's wise? No politician is immune from scandal or accidents."
"Are you threatening me?" Lauren hissed. Zale did not alter his smile.
"Why no, Congresswoman Smith. Simply pointing out the possibilities."
Lauren's eyes blazed. "When it's revealed who you paid off and how much, you and your cohorts will be indicted on more criminal charges than John Gotti."
Zale gave an imperious nod of his head.
"I do not think so."
"I couldn't agree with Mr. Zale more," said Pitt casually. "He will never stand trial."
"You have more intelligence than I gave you credit for," said Zale.
"No," Pitt continued. "You will never be convicted of your crimes because you will most certainly die first. No man deserves to die more than you, Zale, along with every murdering scum in your viper gang."
There was a hairline crack in Zale's composure.
"I take care, Mr. Pitt. You seem too well informed yourself ever to become a senior citizen. Now that I know where I stand, I shall leave you to your dessert, but my friends here will remain."
"What does he mean?" asked Kelly fearfully.
"He means that as soon as he is on his way down the highway, safe in his limousine, his flunkies intend to shoot us."
"Here? In front of all these people?" queried Giordino. "And without masks? Your flair for drama is pretty tawdry."
Caution was edging around Zale's blue-white eyes. These men were not reacting in the way he'd expected. These men were not afraid of death.
His normally decisive mind was at a dead end, and it was not an experience he relished. "Now that we've seen the face of the enemy," Pitt said, "I suggest you leave the inn while you can still walk, and don't even think of harming Miss Egan or anyone else at this table." Zale controlled his anger superbly. He nodded at his two bodyguards and turned to leave. "Before you run off," said Pitt, "it might be wise to take your pals with you, or they'll follow in an ambulance." Zale turned back and stared at Pitt as his men stepped forward and reached inside their suit coats. As if rehearsed, Pitt and Giordino lifted their weapons from beneath the table where they had been resting in their laps under napkins. "Goodbye, Mr. Zale," Giordino murmured with a tight smile. "Next time," and his voice trailed off. The assassins glanced at each other uneasily. It didn't take Mensa intelligence to know that they would be dead men before they could draw their own weapons. "I apologize for calling you fools," said Zale, spreading his hands harmlessly. "It seems you came to dinner fully equipped." "Al and I were Eagle Scouts," said Pitt. "We like to be prepared." He nonchalantly turned his back on Zale and dipped his fork into his key lime pie. "I hope that when we meet again, you're strapped to a table receiving a lethal injection."